just open your hearts to Him. Open your hearts. Allow Him to come in. Amen. Thank you, Father. Let him enter your heart. Amen. Yeah, that's a good one. Good testimony. He can crack any tough cookie. That's for sure. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what today is about, is thanking Him. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Not, you know, Thanksgiving is coming on Thursday, and we're going to have family times and meet and eat, you know, all the stuffings and the pies and things. But it's a Thanksgiving time, and to be thankful for so many things. And so today I want to look at that. We should abound with thanksgiving to God. Amen. And I'm going to look, and we're going to visit some scriptures here, but you can start beginning to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Lord, as they're turning there, Lord, here again we come before You and ask You to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, our spiritual hearts, Lord. Let us receive from You today, but more importantly, Lord, I pray that You will receive from us our thanksgiving to You, our thankfulness, our gratitude that we owe You, Lord, for all the things that You have done and are doing and You're going to continue to do in our lives. May we not take it for granted, and may we not look and just expect it, but Lord, that we see that You're a loving, caring God. And so, Father, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts because You've entered our hearts. Amen. Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7. New King James will say it this way. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, starting in 6 and just 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. If I were to look at that same two scriptures and look at what this is out of the New American Standard would say Bible, when it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, it would say this in the New the NASB, lead your life in Him. Lead your life in Him. Everything you do, once He enters your heart, once He has come into your realm where you're at and you receive Him, you need to make this conscious effort to say, Lord, lead me. I want You in my life to lead me. And then it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in, or you're established in it by the faith as you have been taught. How are you going to stay established in it? It's by faith. Because you're going to go through a lot, and you're going to have to deal with a lot, and it's not always going to be pleasant, is it? But to do that, you get yourself built up by that of the faith that you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding, in the New American Standard would say, overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Is your thanksgiving, is your thankfulness and gratitude to God overflowing? I hope it is. Because He is due a lot of us to just wake up every morning and say what? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit. With a heart of gratitude, I come. And so we're going to look through this a little bit and just see where this develops. We find that in this verse, it's encouraging us, the believers, to be rooted and built up in Him. We are to grow deeper in Christ and to build our lives upon Him. Our faith is to be strengthened by what we've learned from Christ. With that, our lives should overflow or abound with gratitude, our thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, thankfulness, ties in with gratitude as well. So as we build upon Him, that requires us to leave our past. It requires us to come out of the world and to go into His kingdom. It desires, and His desire for us is that we don't pay attention to the worldly things that are really going on around us. We just want to focus and be His. We want to set our eyes upon Him and allow him to lead us. Because now I'm going into here, Lord, lead my life. All that I want to be, all that I want to do should be to please you, to honor you, to glorify you. And to do that, Lord, I am so grateful on what you're doing for me and what you have done for me and what he continues to do for us. Amen. He is continuing. Look at your lives today. Look at yesterday. Are you grateful for yesterday? Thankful for last Wednesday or Tuesday? Maybe you'll say, well, nothing really miraculously happened. But can't you still be grateful when you look around and go, wow, God, thank you. It's just something that I could be by myself. I could wake up in the morning and my wife asked, what'd you say? And I said, nothing. Well, I did say something. I might have said, I love you, Lord. I might have just, thank you, Lord. And my wife hears it in another room. What'd you say? It's just conversations with my God. It's because I want to be so close to him. Because you know why? He is close to me. By that of the Holy Spirit, he is in the room where I'm at. He's in the car. He's in the restroom where I go. Now, people might think I'm crazy. Sometimes I'm in the restroom, and I might say, I love you, Lord. Now, hopefully I don't do that a whole lot out in the public, but, you know, when I'm at my own house and the door's shut, you know, it's just like, you just, something within the Spirit. I think it's because you feel like you can never say it enough. You can't go throughout the day without saying, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome, God. When we look at that word, abounding, overflowing, the Greek would be perisseuo. It's perisseuo. And I guess that's like perisseuo-oh. Okay? Abounding. So, you know, we can get past that. What does that mean? To superabound, have in excess, to greatly surpass, to excel. Is your thanksgiving to your Heavenly Father surpassing anything else that you could say in the things that's going on around you? Is it in excess? Can you, as a parent, and more so as grandparents, can your grandchildren ever say it too many times that, I love you, Papa. I love you, Grandma. No. They can just keep saying it all over and over. It's like, you're feeding me. Keep it going. Keep it going. You know? Sometimes the kids are like that. Your grandkids and things are saying that. And as a parent and as a grandparent, I love to hear that. They can never say it enough. I'll never get tired of having a grandchild say something like that to me. I look at that, God never gets tired of hearing us say, I love you, Lord. I love you, my Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you. It's like, okay, haven't you said it enough? It's like, really, can you say, I love you to someone that you love? Can you oversay it? You can never say it enough. I love you. I love you. We don't hear a lot of that sometimes. And I know as guys we get kind of callous and we go, when I married you, I said I loved you that night, I'll let you know when it changes. That's not the right thing to say. Is that what you do with God? I told you, God, I love you and I'm thankful, God. Thank you for coming into my life. Well, Tim, it's been 30 years since you've really had any conversations with me since then. What's going on? No, it's every day, every hour, whatever the case is. You can never say it enough. You can never say I love you enough to those around you. Please. Walk out today and tell people that. Tell someone that means something to you. I love you and mean it, that I love you. Like it's the normal thing and it kind of gets past that. And then all of a sudden you start reflecting and it's like, you know, you got to get back to that. You got to make an effort. If you're going to make an effort to those around you to say, I got to stay tuned into that. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm thankful for you. We got to do the same to our Heavenly Father. Because sometimes we get so used to him that we just like it just water off of our back. Like, oh yeah, God, he does wonderful things. He's great. But truly with a grateful heart. To be rooted and built up uses that metaphor like that of trees. To be rooted. What does a tree do when it gets rooted? It builds its roots deep into the soil, or it depends on where the water's at and how deep the roots are going to go. You can get into all of that type of a stuff, but it's like a tree will usually have a tap root that goes deep to wherever it taps into to get to the water. But, you know, rooted and built up. Are you deeply rooted in to that of God? Metaphor, it's being used for that of a tree, built up like that of a building to encourage us to have a deep, firm foundation in that of Christ, to be rooted and built up. Oh, hallelujah. And therefore, as you receive Christ the Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up and established in the faith. Get some deep, deep roots of faith, because you're going to need it in the days to come. Amen to that. What about to be established in the faith? It shows that as we are established, it tells us it's the importance of us to be grounded in that of faith. And it's the things that you have learned along the way. That's why faith is a growing muscle in your Christian walk. And the only way you're going to have faith is you've got to go through adversity. You got to go through challenges. You got to go through hard times. You got to go to where it feels like your back is against the wall and everything is coming in around you. But yet I know that I know I've got a God that's going to see me through it. I know that I know I've got a God that's going to take care of me, and He's going to battle for me. He's going to do whatever it takes. Because why? I'm a child of His. And you know why that is? He remembers me because that's my son. That's the one that always says every morning in the bathroom, "I love you, Lord." Thank you, Jesus. Because as I'm with Him every day and throughout the day, He's with me even more. I just got to take notice of it. And even when I don't sense Him, guess what? He's there. For He is everywhere. Oh, Lord, keep me so sensitive that I sense and know. Oh, I don't need chills up and down my spine. I don't need the hairs on my arm to rise up to know that, ooh, something spiritual is here happening. I just know it in my spirit. I just know it in my heart that I know that my God is with me right here today, right now. What about you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But to be established in faith shows the importance of us to be grounded. You've got to be grounded into something. Be grounded in that faith as it continues to build and develop. And be thankful that He is working in you to develop that faith muscle in you so that you are strong in faith. What about abounding? Here it is, that thanksgiving. This tells us that we should live our lives in a way that overflows with thankfulness for that of our God. Why? Because of His blessings. We have received numerous, numerous blessings from Him. Don't you see them? Don't you take note of them? Big things, little things, middle of the road things, but I see His blessings in so many areas. To me, it doesn't have to be monumental, but we see those things. But I like to see Him in the littlest of things in my life. Why? Because He loves me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've set me free. How many here have been bound up? Weighted down with the things of the world. Weighted down with cares that are pushed upon you. Sometimes it's a lot of the things that we put on ourselves, really, because we've learned and we've taught, and or not taught, but we've picked up by people teaching us, this is the way you should be. Well, not necessarily, because a lot of that is they're trying to tell you what you need to do, what you need to take care of, what you need to have, rather than saying just open yourself up and avail yourself up to God and allow Him to be that source. Yes, He does require some things. It's just not easy peasy being a Christian. It's hard work. it'll take a toll on you at times, in the natural, and in some of your thoughts. But when that happens, you've got to be able to then quickly believe and understand that, but yet, when I am weak, He is strong. And there's times that I've gone through and I'm weak. And there's things that I don't know what's next. And I might get into that pity party. Anybody here get a pity party? Come on. You guys. As we looked at Sunday school, talking about the children of coming out of Egypt and all, and how it says in there several times, God heard their complaining. God heard. Well, if He heard their complaining, He sees their actions. He knows what they're doing. He's the same God today for Tim. So when Tim is not right in the up to where he needs to be with the things of God, God knows that. I'm not hiding it. But He's loving me so much that He says, come on, Tim. Get a hold of it. Build yourself up, not in yourself, but build yourself up in Me. Call upon Me. They that call upon the Lord will do what? Renew their strength. Have you called upon the Lord when you're weak? Or do you think, like, I'll take a pill? When you got this happening, I'll just do this. I'll take care of it. No, call. They call upon the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So it's okay. And after some of it, and we had some conversations back before Sunday school, nowadays when you try to get in to see a doctor or somebody, I used to think this was just back when I had a flat tire one time, and I called this place, and it was Sam's because I got the tires there. And back then they used to have, you could drive in, they'd take care of it, hey, we'll get you right in. Well, times have changed. So I go there, and I go, well, we can get to that flat on Thursday. Now, this is Monday. The tire is flat Monday. I need it fixed. What do you want me to do waiting for Thursday? Hello. Well, make an appointment. I go, how do you make an appointment for a flat? Do I just arbitrarily go, I'd like to make an appointment for 2 weeks from now at 7 o'clock for a flat that I might have? Well, it's the same thing now for doctors. You call making a doctor's appointment. So I thought that was just with tires and flat tires. Now it's with doctors. So it's like that all over the system. You call and you go, well, I said this morning in the thing, I said, this one doctor, well, they're taking appointments out to May of 2026. May. I'm going, my gosh, this is November of 2025. The world is upside down. Thank God. Thank God. I've never gone to God in a prayer or in a need. And He says, Tim, make an appointment and I will get with you next Thursday or next February on the whatever. I'll see you then. Oh, my. You better have God in your corner. You better be thankful. You better have gratitude. You better say every morning, every night, everything in between, thank you, Jesus. Oh, how much I need you. You've always been there. When I've called upon you, Jesus. But He's there. So, I'm thankful. Something happens, Lord, help me. And cars nowadays, it even tells you, left rear tire. I mean, back in the old days, you'd have to go like, what tire? Some of us might even check our spare tire. Is that the one that's flat? I don't know. But it even tells you where to go. Hallelujah. But the sensors, hallelujah, God. He's got sensors. And when something's not right, oh, Father, something's not right, I'm sensing it. What's my sensor? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit alerts me. The Holy Spirit awakens me. The Holy Spirit speaks to me. And He says this, He shows me this, He points my attention to something in scriptures and something in my prayers and somebody to come across my path to help me to share with something that it's like, oh, wow. Thank you, God. We should live our lives in a way that overflows with thankfulness because of God's blessings that we receive from Him. Monthly, weekly, daily, hourly, to the second. We never know the next blessing that he's got coming to you. But he's taken care of you. If you're a child of his, oh, I've got this, I've got that pain, I've got this, I've got that. You're a child. If you are saved, if you've got Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a child of his. He knows your need. He knows what you have. He knows how to take care of it. You just need to trust. Trust and obey, for there's no, no, say that, no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So we need to abound with thanksgiving, knowing what we received from him. We can use gratitude as another wordage of thanksgiving. In the Bible, gratitude is presented in a way of life. It's our response to God's love and his goodness towards us. Gratitude, we are to express our thanksgiving, our gratitude to God when all is going well. Easy to do. Oh, wait. But also, one of those buts. When things are not going so good in our lives, we need to express gratitude. Going on the good things, even when things are not going so good, no matter in good times or bad times, we need to have a heart that's grateful, a heart of thanksgiving, a heart that says, thank you, God. You're thanking him for this? I'm thanking him because he's going to sustain me through this. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know what he's going to use. But my God is my God. There's too many people that are going through horrible situations, laid up in health situations, have gone through tremendous and hard times, maybe now have even been paralyzed because of something. Oh, yes, a child of God being paralyzed. Oh, where is, woe is me. But now they are so powerful of a testimony of what God is doing in their life because that paralyzed situation didn't paralyze their faith. It did not paralyze their consciousness of their spirit to know that God is still God. And God is still performing in their life. Yeah, but they can't walk. They're in a wheelchair. They can't even use their arms. They're having to use a straw and blow puffs of air in to maneuver. How can they be so thankful? That's when you know you have nothing to go, oh, woe is me, when you look at something like that and you're going, how can they stand or not stand, sit there or lay there and still say, but, and they might have to even type this out because they can't even speak now. They type it out, and now it's so interesting how they got a little audio voice comes on a computer and says, but I am still thankful for God. God is still my God. Well, okay, Lord, I think I need to re-look at myself a little bit. May I have that type of trust, faith, gratitude, thankfulness, sitting in a wheelchair, blowing in a straw for air to type out the words that I want to say. You get up and you walk out of here, thankful. Get in a car and drive, thankful. Let us not take it for granted of God's blessings of where we're at. But I'll tell you, when things happen and things hit the road, he's still the same God. He has not changed. In the Bible, gratitude, no matter what's taken place in our lives, what the Bible teaches us, is to be thankful or grateful in every situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is something that we've known. 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Our thankfulness should overflow out of our hearts naturally because our hearts have a joy. You know, when we look at this, verse 16 above that says what? Rejoice always. Pray, what? Without ceasing. What do now? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from that of what is evil. But we look at this. This says our thankfulness should flow out of our hearts naturally because our hearts have a joy and an appreciation because of God's constant love that endures forever toward us. The gratitude or the thankfulness that we have is shown through our times of worship. Psalms 100. Psalms 100. We're going to probably jump through here pretty quick, but if you want to turn there, just make a note. Psalms 104 speaks of entering God's presence with thanksgiving. In Psalms 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Oh, thank you, Father, Father, Father. Now, I'm going to bounce back here, and I don't know if I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but I might. But let's just try this and see what happens. So that's in Psalms 100, verse 4. If I go back to Psalms 95, it speaks of this. In 95, verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. When we look at that, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. New American Standard says, for a song of thanksgiving. Are you singing a song of thanksgiving when you come before him? Amen? And let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Psalms would be that of songs with instruments it would speak of. Isn't that interesting that some churches don't want instruments? Don't have an instrument in the church. That's sacrilegious. I don't know what they're going to do when they get to heaven. Are you going to tell the big guy, hey, how could you allow these horns and these timbrels and all these things up here? What happened? Get them out. Do what? Liar, whatever. Yeah, all the. There's going to be some people that go up there. They're going to think they're in the wrong party. Hey, where is the quiet heaven? I want the peaceful, quiet, mundane heaven. I want to just go in there, and everybody's up there in heaven going, yeah, great, we made it. It's great. I'm out of there. Ha, da, 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 da. You know, I want to go to the heaven that's dancing and partying, and there's just the streets are gold, and the gold is nothing. It's just like gold to them is like blacktop for us. It's just like nothing, you know? And I bet there's no potholes up there. I bet not. But it's like you're going to get to heaven, and there's a party going on. Mills. Last name was Mills. Anyway, he had a song out that's pretty cool. Look it up. This is coming. I got to have it. Look up Hotel Hallelujah with Hallelujah. With, he's long passed on. He was a great guy at gospel and music. Hotel Hallelujah. And it's pretty cool. Let us know when you got it. But, you know, here we are. It says that we are going to have songs with instruments is what we're to do. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, songs, and instruments. When we look at this word thanksgiving, it's todah, T-O-D-A-H. This word is derived from the verb yada, to give thanks, to praise. So when we look at this, the root of yada is yad, A-Y-A-D, which is equaling to hand. So, todah, T-O-D-A-H, derived from the verb yada, Y-A-D-A-H, to give thanks to praise. The root of that is Y-A-D, hand. So, to thank or praise God is to lift up those hands. Lift up or extend one's hands in thanks to him. People wonder, don't they? You go to some churches, they're in the pews, praise ye the Lord. Praise him from all things. Hello. go to another church, praise him, oh Jesus. That's the church you want to go to. When I came here and people were being slain in the Spirit, people running in the Spirit, I said, this is a wacky church. Lord, this is not what I think the Holy Spirit wants me to learn. Sit, Tim. You wanted to see it? Watch. 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 You gotta see it. Is there flakiness? Yes. Is there flakiness in the same church where everybody's like this? We shout praises to the Lord. There's wackiness in them too. I mean, it's all over because it's people. Wherever there's people at, there's some people that are just a little touched. Okay? Just a little. Now, I don't know what that means. Good touch, bad touch, we all touch. Okay? But anyway, did you find that? What's his name? Walt Mills. Thank you. Just play some of it. Just play it. I love it.
One night while I was praying, the Spirit carried me.
Just look up Walt Mills. He's got some powerful, cool-looking songs, man. I tell you, I had a CD or two of his. He's long gone on to be with Glory, but he's got some interesting. I might go home and crash in the recliner. I don't know, but I'll be. But if I'm in the recliner and my toes are pointed up, they're going to be going, oh, tell hallelujahs all about. Well, my hotel, hallelujah. That's my feet. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, God is fun. God is fun. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But anyway, we're going to rejoice. So we were talking about the hands and extending the hands, lifting our hands. Now, in Jeremiah 33:11, you can look at that, and it's going to change it from Jeremiah 33:11. That musical interlude was brought to you by Culver's, home of cheese curds. We will all be bus. Put them on the bus. We're going to Culver's. I hope there's a Culver's in heaven. Jeremiah 33:11, Todah, T-O-D-A-H, is translated the sacrifice. So let me look, and you look with me, 33:11 in Jeremiah. And the voice of the joy, thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place of which you say it is desolate, without man and without beast. In the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast. But now in verse 11, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first. So what was happening, he will recall and bring it back. There will be shouting and praising, but it is the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice. Oh, here we go. Hebrews. Oh, we're just going on the Bible journey. We're on a field trip. The sacrifice of praise is our lips giving thanks to God. And we can just look at Hebrews 13:15. 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continue. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks, or say it in the, could be this, giving continually, confessing thanks to his name. That is what? Thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name, is what the Amplified would say. So therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Oh, it just speaks, as priest of God, Revelation 1:6, believers offer the sacrifice of praise, this is a footnote, to God, and loving service to others. The fruits of our lips notes that the fact that as with the fruit God creatively brings forth from plant life, so the Holy Spirit will beget new and living worship unto God from our lips and our whole being. So the Holy Spirit will beget new and living worship unto God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to close this out. You'll find that in Scripture we found in you will find that Scripture found in Philippians 4:6 regarding our request, our prayer, and our petitions to God should be made with what? Thanksgiving. I'm only going to turn there because I don't know. Sometimes I put notes right there and sometimes I don't if I highlight something. We know that the Bible speaks of a joyful heart, a merry heart, right? Well, a joyful heart is a merry heart, considered good medicine. You can look at Proverbs 17:22, part of that verse and verbiage there. It's linked to having thankfulness and gratitude. We're winding down, believe it or not. I think. I don't know. Can you wind down after Hotel Hallelujah? I just don't. I tell you what, I'm thinking we're not going to have an afternoon session now. Oh, Jesus. Okay, I guess Proverbs 12:25 I got. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I don't know. I was looking at that. But here again, that merry heart is considered good medicine, Proverbs 17:22. And, you know, you look at, I guess, comparing that to Proverbs 12:25. But if you don't have a merry heart, if your heart's not joyful, you're going to have what? Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. A lot of people walking around in depression, good Christian people, good God-loving people, they've allowed that type of thing to come upon them. And good or bad, it is hard to break out of depression. Being a Christian, and even a Christian, it is hard to get out of depression. It is a weight that is there that just holds you. And there's times, you know, I've said it before, there's times I've gone through a little depression here and there, and we all do. It's just like, how long do you stay there, and what do you do when you know and recognize it, that you're there? It's when you recognize it. In Colossians 3:17, in everything, whether in action, deed, or word, we do give thanks to God. In Colossians, and I've used this before in Colossians 3:15. I'm not even going to turn there. In everything, whether in action, word, or deed, we give thanks to God. We look at Colossians, that's in Colossians 3:17. Looking back to 3:15, thankfulness helps us with that peace that we have from Jesus to rule in our hearts. When you look at that, when it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, the verbiage and what that is we're looking at, and you look in the meanings of those things, it's letting the peace of God rule in your heart. It's like, let that be like the umpire. It's related to umpires and referees in sporting events. When something happens, who makes the call? The ref, the umpire. They make that. It might have been in, but they call it out. Now, with all the replays, they get overturned. But back in the day, it's whatever that ump or referee said, it went. It's like there's no other video to look at. We give them, they said it, so what they say rules the field. Well, if I looked at that, what this is meaning here, when we look at thankfulness helps peace, that we have that peace from Jesus, let that peace in Jesus rule your heart. Let it be the umpire in your heart to call the plays of your life, to call the things taking place in your life. Let the Word of God call it out. And as I close, and this is why we can just wrap it up right here. So to apply this, each of us needs to deepen our relationship with Jesus. Yes, okay. Spend time in prayer. Read. Study scriptures. Take time to worship and praise God throughout the week, the day. Put on good music. Turn on Hotel Hallelujah. You know? To live each day by the principles of God. How do you live your day? By God's principles or by the world's ways? Do you believe what the world says you are, or do you really trust and believe what God says you are? Because I want to tell you, there's totally differences. They're at opposite ends. But God's description of you is the one that you want, not what the world says of you. Even when things are difficult at times in your life, make every effort to be grateful, thankful. Rather than to complain, begin to be thankful that God is with you and He will get you through it. Whatever it is, whatever that struggle is, whatever the timing it is, God will get you through it. But I want it now. Don't we all? Don't we all? I want it now. I've been dealing with this for 25 years. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not God. But I'm going to keep praying that you trust God and just keep believing and holding on. And maybe He's going to tell you you need to do some changing in your things that you do on this earth. It's not just a hocus-pocus thing where He waves a wand and everything's going to be good, but yet you can still do the things that you were doing that put you in that position. You've got to change. You've got to do your part in these things. I've said this many times, and I will stand here because it's happened and it's worked with me. When I've had a situation, I pray for healing, and I say, God, I know You can touch me and heal me instantly. Thank You. Gratitude. Thank You. But I also know, Lord, that there might be something that You want me to do. Hey, it's a two-way street. I know all my blessings and all these things flow down from God. But I'm also accountable to some things to where I'm willing to say, but God, is there something that I can do on my part to advance this healing or to allow it to develop or to help relieve it or do whatever? And I've had it to where He in my spirit has showed me to do something. How to lay on the floor and how to twist or bend or take a leg and do whatever to kind of do some stretching. And you do that for a few days and guess what? It's gone. But when you're quiet and still and you're really asking Him and He speaks to you, the Holy Spirit is in communication and that Spirit is speaking into my spirit and I'm hearing and all of a sudden it formulates and it says, do this, do this, do this, do this, bop, bop, bop. So there's parts that we have to play as well. But even when things aren't going well and happily in your life, in difficult times, be grateful. Don't complain. If you complain once, give God the praise five times. One for five. Whatever. Always make sure you're giving God more praise than you are complaining. Amen? And then He will get you through it or whatever it is that struggle is at that time. Remember His past time with you. Remember what He's done in the past with you and the victories that He has accomplished in your life for you. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we love You. Lord, we are so grateful for the things that You do for us, the things that You have taken care of for us, the things that You have brought us out of, and You have placed our feet into Your soil where You want us to trod. We thank You for Your kingdom right here upon this earth. And Lord, we are so blessed by You in our days. May we never discount it. May we never forget it. Even after Thursday, let us remain thankful towards You in all things. I pray for each one here today to go home in such a way that, Lord, they're different than when they came in. Touch each one by that of Your Spirit, I pray. Give us a wonderful, blessed week for the times that we have with our families on Thursday, Lord God. Let it be a rich and rewarding time. And if nothing else, Lord, we're just sitting there looking across the table at one another and just being thankful for what we have. Go with us, I pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen.